Testing. I'm turning this one off and going to the other one. Testing. I'm on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that gave himself for us, that we could have this new life. Because, Lord God, we could not prove ourselves righteous in your eyes. So you sent your beloved Son, and he went to the cross for us that we could have new life. And he called us out and said, "Will you follow me?" He spoke to each one of our hearts and said, "Will you follow me?" And that's the call that goes out to you and me today. Will you follow me? I provided everything you need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, says the Lord. Will you follow me? Hallelujah. We commit this time to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd ask that you guys bear with me tonight because I have a message prepared, but I don't think I'm going to preach it. I think I'm just going to talk, share my heart, and see what comes out. So I don't really have a clue where this is going. So y'all forgive me, but that's what I feel led to do. And it's about our relationship with the living God. I do have a scripture the Lord gave me that I'll go to. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. This is a scripture I've been meditating on recently. Very good scripture. It will... If you meditate on a scripture like this, it will reflect into your life and change you. And the Word of God says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden in God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." That's the pure Word of God. We serve and worship this God that we can't see. We just know He's there because He's touched our heart. Somewhere in our life, He reached in and grabbed us and got our attention and said, "Follow me." But everything in all creation is laid bare. Everything in your life. I remember one time when I was a young man of God, I was talking to my pastor and I told him about a dream I had. It was a very, very silly dream. But I told him that I walked up to the pulpit and I was preaching, and then all of a sudden I was running through the mall and I was buck naked, I guess is the term. And anyway, I was just telling him about the dream. But the fact of the matter is, that's how we are before God. You can hide something from your wife. You can hide something from your child. You can hide something from your husband. You can hide something from your employer. But you cannot hide anything from God. Everything in your life is exposed and laid bare before Him who we must give account. I'm not saying that to scare you, but I'm saying that we are in a real walk with a real God, and He is righteous and He is holy. And He calls us into a walk of holiness and righteousness. But the good news is He's provided everything we need for life and godliness. All He asks that we do is respond. Respond. He knows that we are human because when Jesus came to the earth, what makes Jesus so fascinating and intriguing and wonderful and lovely to me is He was tempted in every way that I will ever be tempted of. That's what the Bible says. Some people will try to tell you, no, He was strictly 100% God and He could never sin. The fact of the matter is, He couldn't be tempted if He couldn't sin. Is that not true? He was tempted in every way we could be tempted, yet He did not fail. He passed the test. What does that tell you and me? That tells me that I don't have to fall into sin. The Bible says that He has made a way of escape. I can walk godly in Christ Jesus. I can overcome. I don't have to choose a life of sin. I don't have to let my mind drift in areas where it doesn't need to be going. Because all of this is laid bare in front of God. God knows where our thoughts go. Now, don't be confused. Thoughts are going to come in and out of our brain. That doesn't mean that we invited them. But it's when we choose to dwell there. We don't have any business dwelling in unclean places, because the Bible says to cast down every argument and bring it to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what our part is. When Abraham was called of God, he came out and he was separate. So I'm going to present something to you that I've been meditating on. So these are just thoughts that I've been meditating on for some time. And technically, I've noticed this through my entire walk, and I still don't have a total grasp of it. So I'm going to present something to you that I don't really have my head wrapped around yet, but I want to present it to you anyway. God, your walk with God, as much as you might like it to be otherwise, is a very lonely walk. Because you're the only one that can give account. Your husband, your wife, your child cannot give account for you. You are the one that stands in front of him, nobody else. Now, you can have lots of good friends on the face of this earth. That's fine. And you can have some good Christian people to encourage you and help you along. But the truth is, you're called out by yourself to walk with him. And it's a lonely walk because he is the creator of all things. And he's called you into this relationship. And oh my gosh, what a relationship it is. Because all he does is set you free. All he does is give you the ability to overcome your fears. I mean, I do things now that I couldn't have dreamed of doing many, many years ago. So I'll stop and give you a quick... Some of you guys know this. Most of you do not. But technically, when I was probably 21 years old, I decided I'd try to go back to college. And I took a speech class. My name is Adams. So, you know, I get picked on first in the speech class. And we're entitled or encouraged to give a 3-minute speech. Well, my very worst fear in my entire life is public speaking. I have no fear greater than that. None. So, my name is Adams. They pick on me. I get in front of a little deal like this, and I'm to speak for 3 minutes. I shook for 3 minutes like this. I mean, I violently just and said about 3 words. That was it. I was blessed that nobody laughed because they were going to come behind me. So they didn't laugh. And so the big joke on me is about 4 years later when I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm sitting in church service one day, God says, I've called you to preach to the nations. I'm going, well, that's an interesting deal. I don't read well. I mean, literally, I had about a 6th grade reading capability, you know, but God says I don't call necessarily the brilliant, right? It's the foolish things that confound the wise. But you know, what did he do? He put a believing spirit within me. The one that healed my mind said, you're going to preach. I said, okay, you're the boss. I'm just along for the ride. So I attempted to start preaching. And I remember the first time I preached a sermon, it was horrendous. And I knew it was horrendous. It didn't bother me at all. Why? Because the peace of God had guarded my heart and my mind, and I knew the one that had called me out of darkness into his wonderful light was the one that had me by the hand and said, don't worry, brother, we'll walk on the water together. We'll do this thing. So I encourage you to believe God. That's the one thing I want to put in your spirit more than anything else tonight, is continue to believe God. Because the promises that he made to you, especially and all throughout your life, but especially in your beginning walk with the one that called you out of darkness, they are literally, in my belief, your calling, your foundation of your Christian walk. Many of us have buried those things way down deep, and we don't even know what they are anymore. But God is unique, because what he will do is he'll just, layer by layer, he'll take things out of your life, and all of a sudden, you'll get a revelation and go, oh my gosh, he told me this years ago, and I didn't remember that. I know when he walked in my bedroom, when I was 27 years old, he told me that people were going to be drawn to me because they knew I knew the way to him. And that's something that he told me. And he also told me that I was going to preach the gospel around the world. I've forgotten that for years and years and years. I had buried it. And then in these deep meditation times with the Lord, these things started getting uncovered. And I went, oh my gosh, you told me that way back there, and I had buried it. Well, God was just protecting it because I wasn't ready. You're not always ready when you're told things. I mean, the story of Joseph, remember Joseph, what happened to Joseph? He had a dream or a vision, and he went to his brothers and said, hey, guys, guess what? Y'all are going to bow down to me. I don't understand this, but this is going to be what's happening. Well, that was his calling. That was his gifting. He didn't understand it. He went to the people that he loved and trusted, and what did it do? It caused him all sorts of grief. He gets thrown in a hole in the ground, gets sold off into prison, but it took all of those years for that character to get built in him where he could come to the place and he could love those that had persecuted him. He could just love them and say, you don't understand, dude. It was God's will for me to go through all of that so I could come to this place so I could be the Savior of all of Israel. Now, I got a pen right here. Can you see the point of this pen? Nope. All right, well, just think about that for a second. And then think about the vastness of this room as compared to the point of this pen. We as humans are very impatient people. You've heard Pastor Mike say that we like this microwave faith. But remember, something that I teach and preach is God's kingdom continues to increase in your life. And a lot of people think, well, that's just on earth. But that's not true. It's throughout all eternity. So we're in an eternal walk with the living God all throughout eternity, not just now. And this dot of this pen is like the 40 years that Moses was out in the desert, and this being all eternity. It isn't spit amount of time. Let God deal with you, and if he's put something down in your heart that he's called you to do, he's faithful. Because he's the one that's called you into this relationship. You didn't call yourself. You didn't make this stuff up. He's the one that touched you. It's real easy for me to say, dude, the one that called me told me this. So I have no choice. I have no choice but to believe this Bible. Why? Because the one that called me said, you will live by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. So I don't have a bunch of negotiating points. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't believe that part. I don't have any negotiating points. The one that came in and healed my mind is the one that told me that. You see? And that's the kind of relationship he called us to. Yes, it is a lonely walk, but it's the power of the living God working and breathing in your life. The things that he has called you to, he will watch over. He will bring it to completion. What is our part? Our part is to stir ourselves. Our part is to not that the Bible says in the last days that many people's faith will grow cold. That's also something that's dwelling on my heart. I'm sure they've been saying for centuries that we're in the last days, and I kind of think we are. But that also means that they had faith or it couldn't have grown cold. You understand what I'm saying? So my encouragement to you is keep yourself stirred up, because sin is going to increase on the face of the earth. There's no way around it. That's all talked about in the Scripture. And it's our job to keep ourselves stirred up in the most holy faith, because the one who called us out of darkness has warned us that these things can happen. But he will watch over you. All you have to do is keep coming toward him. When he called Andrew, he just said, come follow me. Come follow me. So there's this following that goes on. He is our leader, and we are his followers. We're not God. We're created in the image of God. He gave us a mind, and he gave us abilities to do things. He gave us hands and feet to spread his gospel. But we are not God. But he called us to follow him. And when this following is taking place, it's not really any different than the same walk that Jesus had on the face of the earth. A lot of people don't quite wrap their head around that. You will hear me speak about us being kings and priests, and that's true. We are kings and priests on the face of this earth. We are actually a holy nation and a royal priesthood. That all is written in the Scriptures. But to me, that is nothing more than our teenage years. That's what it is to me. When you come to the true revelation, man, I'm a king and a priest on the face of the earth, and you start walking with authority in God's kingdom, all of that is true and well. But what did Jesus do? He understood who he was, and then he laid it down and became a servant of all men. We do not have the right to hold a grudge. We gave that right up. I mean, if you come up and hit me, I don't have the right to be angry. I might get angry, but I don't have that right. I don't have that legal right. I gave it up at the cross. If my wife does something that offends me, I don't have the right to be angry at her. I gave that up because Jesus gave it up for me. They denied him when he was going to the cross. And it was that power of love that changed their life. And it's the supernatural power of Christ working in us that draws people to his kingdom. It's not that we're kings and priests and we have all this power and authority, which we do in the spiritual realm. That's not what draws people to Christ. What draws people to Christ is you laying your life down and becoming crucified in him. And I'll ask you a question. If I'm being crucified and I want to crucify myself, I might have the guts and the stamina if I'm a big, strong dude and can handle pain. I might can hammer one nail through this hand, might even successfully get it through my feet. But how in the world am I going to nail this hand? I can't do it. Now, what am I saying when I say that? It means you are going to crucify me. Are you? You're going to crucify me because if you do something that offends me, then I have to be bigger than that. I have to lay myself down and accept that. That is part of my crucifixion. I don't have the right to be mad at you. I don't have any right but to love you. That is my only right. That's my obligation to you, whether you're my friend or whether you're my enemy. That's my love. That is God's power in your life. And there's only one person in all of creation that can make that decision for you. Does anybody know who that is? I'm sorry? Yourself. You have to decide that that's what I'm going to do. Because that's when the power of God starts to flow. That is when the power of the Lord Jesus Christ starts to flow through our lives. That's when we decide to let him be glorified and we willingly walk up Calvary's hill and let him crucify us through other humans. And it's usually people in the church. I mean, you've heard pastor preach many times, I got offended because somebody didn't shake my hand. And people leave churches for those kind of silly reasons all the time. If you've done that, I'm sorry if I just called you silly, but it's a silly reason. But the truth is, if you were living a crucified life, you would look at it totally different. You know, you would yearn for that brother. You'd pray for that brother or sister. That's our obligation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, hallelujah. So, it's my desire for us and for myself to do one thing, and that's to grow to know him more. Because without him, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. But not only that, Jesus Christ in you is the hope of their glory too. Because that's when you're truly carrying Christ to the masses, is when you're living a crucified life. When you're loving people when they're unlovable, that's what changes people. It's not our great personality. It's not, you know, our great bank account or things like that. But once again, I believe that's why I say that it's a lonely walk. When people go to get baptized after they have been born in the kingdom of God, I don't really go for these private, intimate, only a few people involved baptisms. I don't go for that. Why do I believe that way? I'll share again with you. Jesus, when he walked up Calvary's hill, he did it in front of everybody. In front of everybody. But now the purpose of doing it in front of everybody is power comes along with it. Because you're making a public declaration that all the enemies of hell are defeated and I am going to walk with God. He has purchased my salvation, and I'm committing my entire life to Him, and I'm going to walk with Him. And that deserves a public declaration. You see, when you come into the presence of the living God, light comes. When you expose wickedness, light comes. So why would you want to do anything like that in secret? Your faith needs to be, though it is intimate and very personal, and it is yours and nobody else's, it's on public display. Everywhere you go, your faith is on display. And I guarantee you that people are watching the way you act. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but the fact of the matter is, whether their thoughts are right or wrong, you are on public display. They're judging your every move. I know this guy's a confessed Christian. And that, once again, that's not saying things to cause you to fear or anything like that. But it is something that you should be aware of, that you are on public display for the whole world to see. And I had a gentleman one time. This was a real rough time in my life. I was working at Triple S Plastics. I was literally fighting for my life because my body was not healthy. So literally at this time in my life, I'm working probably 65, 70 hours a week because that's what it required for me to support my family. And I'm also fighting for my life. So I'm not very healthy anyway. Didn't have a lot of friends around. Didn't even have time to really fellowship with the saints. I mean, I was just burning the candle on every end possible. But I had this one guy at my work that took me deer hunting. He's a non-believer. So he takes me deer hunting, and I spend a little time with him deer hunting. It was quite a great break to get away. So he calls me 2 years after he's left the Austin area. And I never attempted to share Christ with this man. He knew I was a Christian. He knew what I stood for. And I didn't necessarily believe my testimony was rock solid during that time because I was struggling, quite frankly. We go through seasons when we struggle. We all know that. But he calls me 2 years later and he said, Jack, I just gave my life to Jesus. And I want you to know that you're the reason. You just touched me mightily. I said, really, what did I do? He said, your character, just you being there, always listening to me and answering my questions. And he said, your character was just tremendous. And what I enjoyed about that conversation was, he said, when I worked at Triple S Plastics, I was doing something I should not have been doing. I said, really? He said, yeah, and I believe I have to confess that. When the Holy Spirit moves on you to confess something, you need to do it. That's part of this relationship we're in. He leads, we follow. Don't reject the move of the Holy Spirit when He moves on you to go talk to somebody or confess something, because it will set you back for a long time, because He'll draw away from you. So anyway, this brother says, I had a coworker. I came into work about 4 in the morning, and I would punch me and a coworker in. And then my coworker would punch out about 7 o'clock at night, and he'd punch me and him out. So he was stealing from the company for 3 years. And he told me, he said, Jack, what do I do? Well, the answer to me, I'm sorry, I'm a real black and white guy. I don't make things real difficult for my simple little mind. Let me see. The Holy Spirit told you, you're being convicted, you just do it. And he said, but it's going to cause this other guy a lot of problems. I said, I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit, you felt the Holy Spirit led you to do that. You go to the company and talk to him. So he went to the company and talked to him and exposed this other guy, who was a Christian, by the way, but he was stealing from the company. And anyway, it was thousands and thousands of dollars. The company didn't do anything about it, so everybody ended up being okay. But the most important thing is he followed the leading of the Lord. He followed the leading of the Lord. In this relationship that we are in with Christ Jesus, that's all we're required to do, is follow His leading. Because He will lead you in your entire walk throughout our time here on earth. He will lead you to talk to people. He will lead you into a deeper relationship with Him, because He's always watching over His children. We are His children. But He's called us to a walk of accountability. He's called us to a walk of listening to His Word. If you're getting some wonderful revelation that's special to you and it doesn't line up with the Bible, you better run from it. Because any revelation God gives you that's from the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to line up with Scripture. If you're starting to feel things in your heart that are pulling you away from reconciliation, it's not the Spirit of the living God. Because Jesus is the ultimate reconciler. He is the reconciler of relationships. If you're hearing voices that are calling you to break off relationships, there's a problem. You better listen to it long and hard, and you better listen to the Lord long and hard, or get with some brothers and sisters that you truly believe walk with God and get some counsel before you make any rash decisions that break off relationships. Because He has called us into a relationship with Him. The Apostle Paul, and remember I'm speaking about the power of the cross. The Apostle Paul, remember, he was a persecutor of Christians even to death, right? So he's standing there, and he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, and they are ready to stone Stephen to death. And man, he is a righteous man, zealous for the law, and he says, well, come put his clothes here at my feet. And he's sitting there, yeah, get rid of this dude, man. He's serving God all wrong, right? What did Stephen do? He did the same thing Jesus did. Hold the sin not against them, for they know not what they do. The man that was the most venomous, standing there giving approval of his death, Stephen is saying, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. So one chapter later, he has now authority to go out and persecute Christians. And he believes in his own heart that he's zealous for the Lord, and he's trying to do God's work in his own mind. And what happens? The Lord Jesus reveals himself to him, and he touched him and said, I'm the living God. I'm the Lord Jesus. Instantly his life turned around. But I'm telling you, it was because of what Stephen did that caused the Apostle Paul to wonder about all those things. How could this man love me? And then Jesus revealed himself, and it all came together in a rushing, mighty wind or whatever you want to call it. It all came together, and he clearly understood, oh my gosh, I have been persecuting the living God. And that's the power of the crucified life. It's not your great knowledge of the Bible. It's not your great education. It's not your great charismatic charm. It is the love of God and the crucified life operating through you that is going to draw people to Christ. It's just going to do it. It is the power of God. It's literally the power that changed all humanity. It changed everything when that happened. So my encouragement is that you believe that and you continue to follow Him, the one that called you out of darkness. No matter what happens in your life, you continue to follow Him. You don't have the right. Now listen to me. You don't have the right to live a life of sin. You gave that right up. If you think it's okay to play with sin, you're just wrong. And it's going to cause you a lot of grief. It's going to separate you from your family. It's designed to destroy your family. It's designed to separate you from the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's designed to shipwreck your faith, and it will do it. Remember the warning we had. Many's faith will grow cold because of the increase of wickedness. So you have to decide. My decision is I will follow Jesus. You can't walk for Jesus for me. You can't do it. I have to walk for Jesus myself. Your husband can't do it for you. You have to do it. It's your walk. You have to circumcise yourself to the Lord. And when you feel that breeze come through, you have to feel. You have to feel His presence. You have to feel His pain. But He will lead you all the days of your life because He is faithful and true. And He even goes on to say, even if you're faithless, I remain faithful. Because we're going to have seasons when we screw up. But it's not okay to make these crummy decisions. We're worse here in America than on foreign soil. Foreign soil, they take their walk with God. The ones that commit their life to Jesus, they take their walk with God as a serious matter. And I'd present to you, you guys are here on Wednesday night, so I would say you're taking your walk with God as a serious matter too. But mainly, in my humble belief, in America, we don't take our walk with God that serious. Yeah, I'll walk with God today. I'll do what I want tomorrow. I'll repent the next day, and then He'll cleanse me up, and we'll start doing this again. You might get away with that for a while because He's a loving Father. But it's not the intention. It's not this Him pouring out His life, pouring out His blood, taking all that beating and going up Calvary's Hill so we could have forgiveness of sins, so we could have the right to walk with Him. How in the world could we take that lightly? A very, very poor example of that would be this. I have three wonderful children. All three of them are Christians. My older two got filled with the Holy Ghost at a young age, and they grew up and they became basically normal teenagers. They were pretty good teenagers. I had, you know, my problems, but nothing serious like a lot of teenagers have to go through. But then I had this last one. His name is Samuel. He's now 24. Once he got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was a totally different ball game. He would go to school, and his friends would gripe and complain about their parents. They make me do this, make me do that. And he'd go, "Are you crazy? Don't you know that they work all day for you? Don't you know that they provide a home for you? Don't you know that they prepare the food and get everything ready for you? Aren't you aware of what they do for you?" Are you hearing what I'm saying? This boy understood. My other two were good kids and they loved me, but if I was outside mowing the yard and he came home, he would push me aside and say, "Dad, let me do that. You've already worked hard all day." Mom would be washing the dishes and he'd come in, "Move out of the way. I will do that for you." Because he appreciated. He understood more of the fullness of what we were doing for him. Whereas the other two, they were in their wild little teenage years and they didn't have the ability to understand. You follow what I'm saying? Many of us in our Christian walk take that grace of God, of what He's already done for us, way too lightly. Oh, it's something that's written on the pages, and I know He's going to forgive me, and so I'm going to let my mind drift here because I like to go here. I'm going to treat my husband this way or my wife this way because I'm a little selfish. Of course, that's not what you say to yourself, but I want to do my own thing. But when you really realize what He's done, the price that He's paid, and you take it down deep within you, oh my gosh, why would I dare want to defile this precious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been poured into my life? Why would I do that? I don't want to trample it underfoot. Don't want to do it. Okay? Hallelujah. Is James close by? Hallelujah. So, anyway, that's just, you know, I apologize. I just kind of shared from my heart. I had a teaching, but it just didn't feel right. So I wanted to just share some things from my heart. My encouragement to you is you decide, no matter what, and not just one time, this is what I'm going to do. Because what does the Bible say? It says, daily take up your cross. That means this one-time business, I'll be right back. I want to do an old song, not yet, but an old song. Let's see, Follow Jesus, how's it go? Yeah, that one in a minute, okay? That's it. So he says, daily take up your cross and follow me. So that's literally a conscious decision. So you made a commitment here and you have these places in your life where God's touched you mightily, and then you recommit in those times. That's automatic when the Holy Spirit touches you and you recommit. But I want to talk about this daily business because it's a conscious effort. One of the new things that I started in my life, and it's really proved to be very beneficial to me, is when I get up in the morning, I just roll right out of bed and hit my knees. And I daily commit. I commit that I'm going to live a crucified life. I commit that I'm willing to walk up Calvary's Hill. I commit that my tongue will do nothing but exhort the saints and praise Him who called me out of darkness. I commit that I will love my neighbor as myself. Just some commitments, because I want it in my fresh, conscious mind. I don't want to make a mistake that might send you in the wrong direction for 2 weeks. Now, I know God is going to heal you, but it could cause you problems. I could say something to you because I'm being selfish for a moment, or you said something to me and I didn't like it and I took it the wrong way, so I speak harshly and somebody goes in the wrong direction for a season. The power we have in our words is tremendous. Now, I'm just saying that we have the ability to bless people and draw them into God's kingdom. But it's a constant, daily decision that you have to make. Nobody can make it for you. It's true Jesus died for your sins. It's true He will forgive you. But you have to make that daily decision. You have to decide, I am going to live a crucified life. I am going to follow Him every day of my life. Every day. And then the Lord of glory will show up. He will guard your heart and your mind. He will protect you. Rivers of life will flow out of you. So, anybody that agrees with what I'm saying, stand up. There's an old, simple song that's very appropriate. Brother, you're being healed in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the healer. He is the healer. Anybody else? I just want to speak it verbally. Anybody else not feeling good? Kevin? Josh? Healed in the name of Jesus. We speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. Y'all believe that, okay? Believe it and you have faith, because the Bible teaches that all things are possible, those that believe. With God, all things are possible. Healed in the name of Jesus. Come forth in Jesus' name, whole in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, I'm diverting for just a second, pray and never give up. So if you don't know about Luke chapter 18, spend some time there. It'll teach you how to pray right. Pray and never get up. I like to say, tie a knot at the end of the rope and I ain't going anywhere. Doesn't matter what's happening on the earth, I'm going to pray and never give up. Never give up. Don't pay attention to what your eyes say. All right, we're going to sing this song to cement this sharing time that we had about living a crucified life and following Him, okay? Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, turning back. Though none go with me. Follow. None go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, turning back. I have desired thy Jesus. My cross grows weary till I see Jesus. The cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Just the light on the keyboard. Hallelujah. Kula bashata la manana daria bosho honta. Nashi tehendelaya mosho honta. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. And we do thank you, Lord God, that you have provided everything we need for life and godliness. We thank you, Lord God, that you will not leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord God, that you walk among us, that you heal our diseases, that you calm our fears, that you cause our fears to fade away, that you cause us to overcome our fears. Father, we thank you that you've called us into this relationship of love, Lord God, that you heal us, that you walk with us. Father, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your love and your compassion, that you look into our heart of hearts and you do not reject us, but you accept us for who we are, and you're not afraid to be called our God. You're not even afraid, according to the Word of God, to be called our friend, because you love us and forgive us. We don't even have the ability to comprehend that, but we know, according to your Word, that it's true, that it's so true. And this day, Lord God, we lay our lives down to know you, to walk into your presence, to love you. And Father, we just worship you. We thank you for what Jesus has done. We thank you that you have left the Holy Spirit with us to guide us into all truth, to correct us and convict us when we are wrong, Lord God, and to move upon us. If you embrace me, says the Lord, I will embrace you. For that is who I am. I am the God of love, but I am the perfect Father. The perfect Father. So I know what is best for your life. And I will, in fact, watch over you. I will bring things into your life that you need for the proper correction and instruction, so that you can be formed in the very image of my Son. For it is my desire that you walk on the face of this earth as my own Son walked on the face of this earth, with the power of the cross going before you, the very love of God coming from your heart of hearts. Your heart of hearts. Because out of that heart, your mouth will speak the very promises of God, the very truth of God. And watch and see that I don't strengthen you as days go forth, because we will continue walking this walk together. And I tell you that I will put mountains in your path, but I will also give you the ability to scale mountains. And when you get on the mountaintop, you will look down and you will stand in awe of the pure glory of God manifested all around. And I tell you, I'll give you insight into people's lives. And I tell you that I will touch your lips just as I touched the lips of Isaiah. And I'll burn them so that you will speak the things of God if you take up your cross and follow me. I will heal you. I will make you whole. I say the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It won't be something you just read about, but it'll be something that is every day and present in your life. Because I am the great King. I am the healer. I am the one that called you. And I will be with you all your days. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody wants prayer, I'm willing to pray. It's a good time in the Lord, yes? Thank you for letting me just share. Hallelujah. Make sure you touch another human being and love them before they leave. Make sure. Humans are created for touch. We need to touch. Love you, man.